How many of you at the sound of my voice are hungry for a word from God? Really? Spank you. Come on. There you go. How many are hungry for something, a word of God? Come on. Yeah. There's no mamby-pamby, cotton candy, cheesy Christianity church here. We're alive. So let's lift up our Bibles, our hands, our iPods, whatever you have for the word of God, and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same, because I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living word of the living God. And I'll never be the same, and never in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, I've been going through, for those that are fresh here, we've been going through the New Testament books. And the title of the messages have actually been Jesus Is. And we've been looking at who Jesus is in the books. Well, last week we looked at the shortest book in the New Testament. I think it's 23 verses, Philemon. And it was really good. We were able to draw a few nuggets out of Philemon. And the one thing that we talked about was that we need to acknowledge. Now, when you think about the word acknowledge, that means something that you acknowledge with your mouth, right? I acknowledge that Ryan is sitting in the second row with his sister next to him, right? Okay? And so we acknowledge every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. We don't think it. We speak it out loud. That's the thing I've been after for years, is we need to speak out loud those things that are in us that God has put there, who we are in Christ. Amen. And that our love and faith in Jesus has a voice. See, my faith has a voice. There is no such thing as silent faith. Silent faith is dead faith. You have to have a voice. Your faith has a voice. Amen. In different ways. So when we get to Hebrews, we're going to look at, got two different translations here for the first section of Hebrews chapter 1, but the first four verses we're going to look at, first of all, NAS is New American Standard, and TP is the Passion Translation, the Passion Translation, thank you. So let's read this. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. Now I say it, and I'll say it, and I'll say it. God has a voice, and we are capable of hearing it. He is the good shepherd. We are his sheep. He has a voice, and we are capable of hearing it. For whatever situation you've been in, for whatever situation you're in the middle of, and whatever situation that you're going to be in the middle of, God has a voice to speak to you about that situation. Amen? We just got to get our zipped and our open. Get this zipped and this open. Yeah. Have you ever been so desperate for a word that you sat down, say, God, just speak to me, and you open your Bible, and there it is. Yeah. You know, God meets us at our place of desperation. He does. And we've all walked out different areas of our life that probably were desperate. And God speaks to us. Isn't it wonderful? When you get a word from God, it's like a nugget of gold, and you just can't let go. You just don't want to let go. Don't you, devil, don't you come near this, because this is my promise. This is my blessing. This is what's going to set me free. This is what gives me direction in my life. Yeah, that nugget that comes from God, right? That word. Yeah. And so, in the last days, he spoke to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And then we'll shift in verses 3 and 4 to the Passion. It's a little frou-frou, but just enjoy it. The Son is a dazzling radiance of God's splendor. Whew! Just like a fresh sun in the morning, and it's coming up with the horizon, and it's beautiful, and it's warm, and it's just gorgeous. The exact expression of God's true image, of his true nature, his mirror image. You know, you take your phone and you push a certain button, you can look at yourself. Well, I don't want to do that, but God's image is in that mirror. He says he's a mirror image. And he holds the universe together, and he expands it with his mighty power. How? Through his word. Because words have power. Repeat that with me. Words have power. He holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. He accomplished for us the complete cleansing of our sins. Hallelujah, somebody said. And then took his seat on the highest throne at the right hand of the majestic one. Far above, another verse says, far above. Everyone say far above. Far above all principalities, all powers, all rulers of the darkness, and spiritual forces of wickedness in high places, God has seated himself far above them. Not even close. They're not even on a radar. Right? They're buried. Verse 4. And he is infinitely greater than the angels, for he inherited a rank and a name far greater than theirs. And that's my comment. Every knee. Not some knees. Every knee. Every knee. The people that make it to his majesty, we will kneel before that throne in such reverence and awe. And those that didn't make it will be on their knees in torment. Think about that. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the language of God, and he is greater than the angels. I've said this, God has a voice, he's capable of hearing it, we're capable of hearing it. And he still speaks to his people, not just through the prophets. He spoke in the old through the prophets primarily, but now he speaks through his voice, his word. He has a voice and I'm capable of hearing it. He's still speaking to us. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I'm telling you, church, there's a part of the church today that doesn't believe this. And I'm going, really? It's pretty plain. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Isn't it great? Yeah, we sang about it. Now word. You know, sometimes we need direction in our life, and when you get that now word, it's like, whoa, the atom bomb went off, and you can run with that word. You can hang on to that word, that blessing. Hallelujah. I love those kind of words. And then he's given this name that's above every name on earth and in heaven. All right, so second point. Number two, Jesus is the mercy and grace at the throne for us. Aren't you thankful for his mercy and his grace? Yeah, I know some of this is kind of review for us, but it's still good. Hebrews 4 is a great section of Scripture. Seeing then that we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. What should our confessions be? First of all, we can start off with, Jesus, you are Lord. And then the confessions that we are. I'm saved by his blood, and I'm filled with his spirit, and he's given unto us all things to pertain to life and godliness. No, I said that wrong. He's given to us some things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, I just wanted to make sure you're listening, all right? Praise the Lord God. Hallelujah. And then let us hold fast to our confession. What's your confession? It's your words, right? It's not what certain religions do in priestly deals. Confession, just the words coming out of your mouth. And so I put this note in here. This is a side note. This is a side nugget. Continually take inventory of your words to yourself and to others. In other words, check out what you're saying. Check out what you're thinking. We need to take inventory. When you take inventory, you challenge yourself at what you're saying. Especially the words, well, I just hope it's coming soon. Take inventory of those words. No, I believe it's coming soon. There's a big difference here. Well, I kind of hope it's going to be okay summer for agriculture. No. I believe it's going to be an okay year for agriculture. any other business. Amen? Hallelujah. I believe that we can have greater income than expenses. Somebody shout amen. Amen. First in line. So we need to take inventory of our words to ourselves and to others. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Is there ever a time that we don't need mercy and grace? Like, no. Yeah, thank you, Marianne. No. Every day we need His mercy and we need His grace for everything, every situation. That's what it's all about. Those things are so powerful. His mercy and His grace. And we need to practice this every day. Come on. No, nobody's got the corner on the market on this thing. We just need to practice it every day about coming boldly before the throne. That should be the first thing we do when we wake up, last thing we go to bed. I just come before your throne, God. Mercy, your grace. Help me, God. Just help me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, number three. Jesus is the promise of all promises in heaven. Aren't you thankful for that? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 through 15. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to full assurance of hope until the end. There is a time for hope to end. When does hope end? When your prayer is answered. When does hope end? When your provision has come. When does hope end? When God gave you strength for that circumstance that you're in. When does hope end? When you forgive when something's been done unjustly to you. You know, that's tough. It really is. Because on the inside of us, we want to wring their neck. Thank you for laughing. Come on. Aren't you glad I'm real? Come on, we got things. We just like to wring somebody's necks, and God says, forgive them. Because I did. I paid the price. I paid the price. And we just, you know what the best thing to do when you're having struggle forgiving somebody? Is say it out loud. And say it out loud. And you repeat it, and you repeat it until the Spirit gives witness that your mind is right. Say it out loud. It's a choice. Thank you. Forgiveness is a thing, but it's a choice. Hallelujah. So His promise is above all. Where are we at here? Are we still in Hebrews 6? All right. We desire that each one of us show the same diligence and full assurance of hope until the end. Verse 12. And that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience. Faith. This is my favorite Hebrews verse. It's through faith and patience. You can have all the faith in the world, but faith has to remain until the promise comes. Faith is not faith until the promise comes, until it's fulfilled. Who through faith and patience, everyone say that, faith and patience. When you go to bed tonight, I want you to hear my voice. You through faith and patience will inherit the promises of God that He's provided for you in the Scriptures by His holy word. And individual words that He's given to us and promises He's given to us for our individual lives and situations that we face. Hallelujah. How do we get it? Through faith and patience, we will inherit the promise. Verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater than him, he swore by himself. Verse 14. And he said, surely, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. So that promise that God made to Abraham, I can't wait for my cordless mic again. That promise He made to Abraham is for you and me. Because Abraham was not under the law. We need to understand that faith came before the law. The law came to be a tutor to take us to the king, and to faith, but faith is it. Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. That's what we should say. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your multiplication. Thank you for everything that I need over and above. Hallelujah. That's what God says. Verse 15. We had a 15, Larry? Okay. I'm patient. Oh, there it is. And so, after he had what? Patiently endured. Who is he there? Abraham. Abraham patiently endured, he obtained the promise. The patiently endured is the problem, isn't it? How many of you like the promises of God? I love his promises. We got book. Ron passes out books. 58 promises of God you need to believe for. Other books, you know. Come on. There's 7,000 of them in the scriptures, I understand. So we ought to have enough faith to believe at least some of them. But what good does it do to believe and then quit believing? What good is it to give up that belief? So I just want to speak some faith in your life and encouragement in your life. This is not condemnation. This is encouragement. Yeah, to continue to believe and don't quit believing. Don't quit believing. Don't quit believing. Don't quit believing until you got that promise. Amen? God's good. God is good, and he's good all the time. Thank you. Absolutely good. Love that adjective. Thank you. Okay, number 4, Jesus is our race of faith, the start and the finish. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 or 1 through 2, whichever we got. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You know, it's really pretty exciting when you think about this race he's talking about, because he uses athletics as a picture. I don't know what it would be like to catch a winning touchdown for the national championship in the end zone in your home stadium and have 80,000, 90,000 people all of a sudden yelling for you. Just imagine that for a second. Can you imagine the adrenaline? It's oozing out of your pores. This is better than that. This is way better than that. I had a moment like that. I had spent my entire year in 1974 working to qualify for nationals. I was working two jobs, and I had to swim off times all the time. I really worked my fanny off, and that moment when I swam a 200 meter backstroke, and I was 2 seconds faster than the qualifying time, and I saw that time. I wasn't tired. I got up out of that water. I ran 50 meters down the pool, and the adrenaline was incredible. And it's the same thing here. We God gives us his strength. His strength is like that adrenaline. It says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance that race that's set before us. Come on. I'm not going to sit around and grow old. I'm going to keep running. I don't care what anybody says. We just need to keep pushing, keep running after him. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Got off subject there a little bit. Looking unto Jesus. Yeah, our focus. Everyone say focus. Focus. Don't lose your focus. Come on. The kids that are here in school, the teachers say, don't lose your focus. Yeah, don't lose that focus. The author and the finisher of our faith. He starts and he finishes. Whom the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you happen to have verse 3, Larry, or no? Oh, he does. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Well, you know what weariness is. That's just one step away from failure. When we're weary, we're one step away from failure. So we need to, in a moment of weariness, kick in our faith. No condemnation in that. None at all. Because we all have our challenges where we're sometimes dragging our feet through a trial. But I love that. So we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, bigger than 95,000 people in Memorial Stadium, bigger than any Super Bowl, bigger than any soccer game. Now they got hundreds of thousands of people watching those things. And yet the great cloud of witnesses is much greater than that for us. And they're cheering us on. They're saying, you can do this. I believe Grandma and Grandpa Geraldine are just thrilled that this church is still going. They helped to start the church. And they're still cheering us on. My mom and dad still cheering us on. You have parents or family members who maybe gone on before you. They're still cheering us on. They're seeing it. And they say, keep going. Keep going. You can do it. They're the most positive coaches on the planet, so to speak. All right? Praise God. So, where am I at, Larry? That was Hebrews 15. This is Hebrews 6, right? No, 11:6. Very good. But this is important. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. So how do we please God? With faith. For with faith, let's turn around. For with faith, it's possible to please God. So we just have to get a little faith. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, the spoken word, the written word, the word that God puts in us when we're walking by the road. You can be in a shower and God can speak to you and you put a word inside of you. Hallelujah! You know, it just comes. I love it when you flash in unusual places. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, Jesus is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. All we got to do is do a little more seeking. Yeah. Right? Praise God. As we read before, through, how do we inherit promises? Through faith and patience. Through faith and patience. Everybody say that. Faith and patience. Through faith and patience we inherit those promises. All right, so as we see that in Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it's impossible to please God. And we must believe that he is and he rewards those who diligently seek him. You are diligently seeking. You're here in church on Sunday morning. You could have been doing something else on a holiday weekend, but you came to hear the word of God. And I pray that that word would explode on the inside of you. I just pray that an atom bomb would go on the inside of you. Whatever you're believing God for, whatever you're trusting God for, that it would explode on the inside of you. And I don't care if it's something you're believing for tomorrow, or if it's something you're believing for next week, or something you're believing for, or maybe something's happened and it's been months and months and months and years since it happened, and you're waiting for that breakthrough. I pray for a breakthrough anointing for the things that you're believing for. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen on that one. I like breakthrough anointings. I like when old things from long time past come to pass and straighten out. We just got to keep believing God. We just got to keep believing God. Got to keep prophesying. So I want to encourage you and build you up to do that. We must believe that God is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. He also rewards those who keep on believing. He rewards us when he keeps on believing. Yeah, come on. So praise God. So Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's stand. I was thinking yesterday when I was working on the message, and without faith and patience, we don't inherit the promises, but with faith and patience, we inherit the promises. And I sometimes go back through some of my notes, and some of you that have been here since day one, I preached 80 messages on faith the first year or two I was here, 80. And I'm still preaching on faith because faith never dies. We need fresh faith all the time. We sung that song. I love that. That song is so prophetic. Look it up and pick out of that song those things that are applicable to you. Fresh faith. Come on. That new thing that's coming. Got a new thing coming. Say, I got a new thing coming. I got new money coming. I got new strength coming. I got new vision coming. I got new things coming, and they're coming my way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Go and have a great week. God bless you.